Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and also they which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is coming again. Behold, he cometh, shout it far and wide. Behold, he cometh, all evil to subside. Behold, he cometh, look up, Christian, look up. Behold, he cometh with fury in his cup. Behold, he cometh, let his people rejoice. Behold, he cometh with triumphant voice. Behold, he cometh, watch Babylon fall. Behold, he cometh, crowned Lord of all. Behold, he cometh with wind and fire and flood. Behold, he cometh. And I'm saved in his blood. Wow, I feel better about the whole thing. I'm telling you, it's a challenge to have the pastor on one side and the assistant pastor on the other side. I have to behave myself really well tonight. Well, did I tell you that when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about again tonight in the book of the Revelation. This time in chapter number 11. The very last book of the Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave him to show unto his servants those things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And all of the things that John has written in this book of the Revelation, all of them center about Jesus Christ. Open the Bible anywhere and it blesses. Cut the Bible anywhere and it bleeds. Read the Bible anywhere and it benefits. With your Bible open to the Revelation chapter number 11, I'm going to read after we pause in a moment of prayer, beginning at verse number 15 for our reading. And now, Heavenly Father, we ask you would give us permission to read your word. It is so holy and powerful and precious and perfect and pure and pontifical. Give us permission to preach your word because it is inspired and infallible and inerrant and impeccable and indestructible. And I pray that as a sharp sword it might find its way into our hearts. We do not know the hearts of the people here tonight. Probably most of them are saved. There may be one, two, three, or even more that may yet be unsaved. I pray they would come to know Christ. But then I pray, Heavenly Father, that every Christian in this place tonight before they leave, would crown Jesus Christ as King of their lives. Help us to realize it's one thing to be saved. It's another to live in submission to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as our Master. I pray it in His name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. The Revelation chapter number 11 at verse number 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and which wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and Thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that Thou shouldest give reward unto Thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear Thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in His temple the ark of the testament. There were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. When the seventh angel sounded, ladies and gentlemen, great voices in heaven announced the great takeover. Listen again to the words of verse 15. The kingdoms of this world, this is the takeover. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Someone may say, but why doesn't God come on the scene now? Why doesn't He end this terrible war in Iraq? Why doesn't He end the other 38 wars that are going on in our world tonight? Why doesn't He put an end to the suffering and anguish and grief and sorrow and heartache and tragedy that so characterizes the human race? Well, ladies and gentlemen, could I tell you that God acts on His own timetable? He never operates by chance, but always by choice. He has a plan and a pattern and a purpose and a program and a prescription for every nation under the shining sun. God is never startled or surprised or stunned. He didn't wake up this morning and say, "Uh-oh, it's August 5th. Next Sunday is Raymond Barber's birthday. I must go to..." No, He didn't do that at all. And the reason He didn't wake up this morning is He didn't go to sleep last night. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Can I tell you that God has a plan and a pattern and a purpose and a program and a prescription for your life? And by the way, He's not going to change His plan to fit you. He's going to change you to fit into His plan. There have been many great kings and many powerful kingdoms in the history of mankind, all the way from Nimrod to Nebuchadnezzar and from Nero to Napoleon. Oh, by the way, have you heard anything lately about the great armies of Assyria? Or the beauty of Babylon? Or the power of Rome? Or the splendor of Greece? All of these nations and empires are in the graveyard of oblivion. There has never been and never will be a kingdom to compare to the kingdom of our Lord. Nor has there ever been or there ever will be a king like King Jesus. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt crash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. I've entitled this message, God's Great Kingdom and God's Great King. David was a great king. He reigned in Israel from 1015 to 975 BC. David's specialty was war. He fought many battles. He won many victories. He defeated many armies. He brought fame and fortune and popularity and power to the nation Israel. He was a man after God's own heart. And by the way, he contributed $100 million to the building of Solomon's temple. What a king. Solomon, David's son, was a great king. He reigned in Israel from 975 to 935 BC. Solomon's specialty was writing. He wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. And in addition to his talent as a writer, he was an architect, an arbitrator, an administrator, a botanist, a biologist, a builder, a banker, a broker. He was a contractor and a chemist and a composer and a chronologer. He was a poet and a philosopher and a philanthropist and a preacher. He was a soldier and a scientist, a scholar and a singer. He had 1,400 horse-driven chariots with 12,000 horsemen and 4,000 stables. He earned $20 million a year in gold alone. This was beside his merchandising and mining and tariffs and taxes and investments. Poor old Solomon. He did all of this without the help of a typewriter or a tape recorder or a television or a telephone or a telegraph or an iPod or an iPhone or a fax machine or a copy machine or a computer or a CD or a DVD or without even a PhD. What a man, what a king was King Solomon. Nebuchadnezzar was a great king. His specialty was conquering enemy nations. In 612, he conquered the nation of Assyria. In 605 BC, he conquered Egypt. In 586 BC, he conquered Judah, destroyed the city of Jerusalem, burned the temple of Solomon, removed Zedekiah off the throne of David, and ended the Judean monarchy. And from that fateful day until this, not one single king of royal blood has ever occupied David's throne. Nor will anyone until David's greatest son, Jesus Christ, comes to rule and reign. And he will do so as the Son of Righteousness, who shall rise with healing in his wings. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What shall I say about Tiglath-Pileser, Shalmaneser, Sennacherib, and Sargon, and Alexander, and the Caesars, and the Tsars of Russia, and the kings of England and Spain and France? All these were powerful potentates. They were tenacious tyrants. They were great kings. But none, I repeat, none ought to be compared to King Jesus. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Upon his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And upon his vesture and upon his thigh he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ladies and gentlemen, King Jesus has all power and wisdom and wealth and honor and majesty and glory and might, both in heaven and upon the earth. Did he not say, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth? Paul gives us this commentary in 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And in the Revelation, John wrote, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became as black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and the bondmen, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and rocks of the mountains, and cried out to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Ladies and gentlemen, I declare unto you that King Jesus is the King of righteousness. It is written in Isaiah 32:1, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and that king is Jesus Christ. King Jesus is the Prince of Peace. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. King Jesus commands the greatest army ever marshaled on planet Earth. Did not John say the armies of heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean? King Jesus has the sharpest sword ever honed, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. His word comes out of his mouth. Out of his mouth cometh a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. King Jesus owns all the earth and everything that's in it. So said the psalmist, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. King Jesus will subdue all nations and empires and kingdoms under his feet. I gave it to you in my text a moment ago in verse 15. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. King Jesus is the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. And I don't mind telling you, he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I confess, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He is my sovereign, my sufficiency, my supply, my strength, my satisfaction, my security, my standard bearer, my shepherd, my sacrifice, and my substitute. King Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, is the Savior of the world. The angel said at his birth, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." King Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. King Nebuchadnezzar built his hanging gardens of Babylon, and they became known as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. King Solomon built his magnificent temple. 185,000 men he employed for 7 years to build that temple. In today's currency, it would be worth hundreds of millions and multiplied millions of dollars. King Faisal built his oil empire, which was worth multiplied billions. But time out. King Jesus created the world and all things therein, and he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got you and me, brother, in his hand. He's got you and me, sister, in his hand. He's got the tiny little baby in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. And nobody's going to wrest it out of it. King David reigned 40 years and he died. King Solomon reigned 40 years and he died. King Nebuchadnezzar reigned 43 years and he died. Augustus reigned 51 years and he died. Cyrus, king of Persia, reigned 29 years and he died. Nero, the emperor of Rome, reigned 14 years. And he died. But I bring you good tidings of ineffable joy. Jesus Christ shall reign forever, and he shall never die. I give you his word on it. Don't you believe what Jesus said? He said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death." By the way, his kingdom will never be destroyed. In Daniel chapter 2 at verse 45, the prophet wrote, "And the days of these kings," what kings? The kings of the revived Roman Empire. The stage for which is being set at this moment as I speak to you. "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people." Watch it now. "But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." They cannot shell his temple, nor dynamite his throne. They cannot bomb his city, nor rob him of his own. They cannot take him captive, nor strike him dumb, nor blind, nor starve him to surrender, nor make him change his mind. They cannot cause him panic, nor cut off his supplies. They cannot take his kingdom, nor hurt him with their lies. Though all the world be shattered, his truth remains the same. His righteous laws still potent, and God is still his name. Though we face war and struggle, and feel their goad and rod, we know above confusion, there will always be our God. King Nebuchadnezzar ruled over a vast kingdom of 127 provinces that stretched from India to Ethiopia. But King Jesus will reign and rule over all the kingdoms, all the empires, and all the nations of the earth. Jesus shall reign from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth in the day when the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. In the days when the desert shall rejoice and blossom like a rose. And Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. Behold the islands with their kings, brings, and Europe her finest tribute brings. From north to south the princes meet to pay their homage at his feet. Oh, and I should tell you that when he reigns, we're going to reign with him. I give you Paul's word on that from 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. John said, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and forever. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, and set him free. And ladies and gentlemen, whom God and the Lord Jesus set free is free indeed. Thank God I'm free. I'm free from the power of sin. I'm free from the penalty of sin. And one day, thank God, I'll be free from the presence of sin when I repose on the Savior's breast in God's eternal day, where the sun shall never set, where we'll never grow old, and where the soul of man never dies. Well, I'm on my way to Canaan's land. Who will come and go with me? On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. I'm bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. If you're here tonight without the Savior, I admonish you to trust him. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And whosoever, so much for the hyper-Calvinist, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you tonight take a survey, an inventory of your own life for a moment? How long have you been saved? Has there ever been a time in your life, now listen very carefully, has there ever been a time in your Christian life that you ever truly, honestly, completely, totally, unreservedly crowned Jesus Christ as King of your life? Folks, it's not enough to be saved. Now, you'll go to heaven if you're saved. But what about now? Have you, I ask, crowned him king? Has there been a moment, a time specifically, when you literally crowned him in your heart and mind as king? In your heart, there is a throne and there is a cross. When Jesus is on the throne, you are on the cross. When you're on the cross, Jesus is on the throne. Which is it with you? May we stand, please, for our prayer.